Our first reading is from Acts, the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. As I said in the introduction and in this message, I want to create a link, you might say, between the ascension and the work of the Holy Spirit to send faithful witnesses to Christ into the world. Let me reread from Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, then after that, the disciples went back to the upper room. John 17, the prayer there, that was in the upper room. That was what Jesus was doing with his disciples before the crucifixion, and now after all of it, they're back in the upper room, and Peter has as his first order of business finding a replacement for Judas so that there would be the 12 witnesses to the resurrection. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. They proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. They prayed and said, You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go down to his place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Overlooking the city of Rio de Janeiro is this iconic statue, Christ the Redeemer. Our Catholic friends in the 1920s gathered together what would amount today $3.5 million in order to create this statue and to put it on the top of Mount Corcovado. It is a testimony to Christ. And when you go back to look at the history of why they did this, they said they did it because of the godlessness of the world at that time. This statue, being so close to the sea, sometimes is engulfed by clouds. You can go home this afternoon and look at some of the pictures and videos of it. They're beautiful. And it reminds me of the Ascension and also the purpose for that statue, again, as a testimony to Christ the Redeemer. This is what the Ascension does. It leads us into this important aspect of the life of the church today, a witness to Christ. So in the message, I want to focus on the Ascension, focus on these 12 witnesses, and then ourselves as God's witnesses to the resurrection. This miracle of the Ascension, Jesus ascending, being covered up by the clouds, taken away by the clouds, it's really the capstone miracle of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus' earthly ministry, as Luke describes it, that time when he went in and out among us, began with Jesus' incarnation. God loved this sinful, rebellious world, and yet he came into it through his beloved Son in humility in order to save it, incarnate of the Virgin Mary and born, who lives a sinless life and reveals perfectly the will of God to us. That teaching of repentance and forgiveness confirmed with miracles of salvation and culminating in this obedience to the Lord as he dies on the cross, a sacrifice for the sinful world. He rose 3 days later as he said he would, and for 40 days that physical, that going in and out ministry of Jesus continued until the day of the Ascension. And there Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father to rule over all of the universe for the sake of the church. Now, this ascension, this leaving of Jesus is not really a leaving at all. As Pastor Adel talked about in our Wednesday evening, our Ascension Eve service, this was not about Jesus leaving. It's really a transition. It's not about Jesus being less present in the world, but actually more present in the world through the power and work of the Holy Spirit. The gateway, the ascension is the gateway to the Holy Spirit's work to bring the Word of God and the truth of God against and overcoming the lies and the hatred of Satan. And the key to all of this is witness, the witness to Jesus. And so that brings us back to the upper room, to Peter and the apostles, and brothers of Jesus, Luke mentions, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke says they were devoting themselves to prayer. That word in Greek can also be translated persevering, and I kind of like to remember that part of the meaning there. Persevering in prayer. They were waiting for the work of the Holy Spirit to begin in them as Jesus had promised. Well, what's the work of the Holy Spirit? Let me take you back to the catechism a little bit. These are basic, important instructions in the Christian faith. The work of the Holy Spirit could be divided into different parts. First and foremost is the work of converting us. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So all of us who believe in Jesus have that work of the Holy Spirit in us. But there's other things the Holy Spirit does. As we say in the catechism, he enlightens us with his gifts. And so there are different gifts, especially gifts having to do with our sanctification, that is, living out this faith. And these can vary a little bit between people, but one of them would be this ability to be a witness, one who can testify to Jesus. That's a very important gift, never to be taken for granted. All of us have the gift of conversion, and that's where we fight the inner battle with sin and sinful nature and temptation. But the gift to be a witness is not only that, but the gift to also face the anger and the hatred of the devil and all of his disciples, to take on that outer battle. And so Peter knew he needed to find a replacement for Judas. It's not what I would have expected. My human way of thinking goes something like this. Well, you had 12, you lost one. 11's not bad. Why can't you just go on with the 11? Peter knew there was more to it than that. Jesus had chosen 12. And that number 12 in the Bible is a very, very important number. That's the number of the church. And so Judas had to be replaced. And that's part of, that was predicted by Jesus. It was also promised ahead of time in the Old Testament scriptures as well. Judas's demise is very sad. Judas was deceived. He betrayed the Lord. He then fell into despair. And Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1 that he fell headlong. He broke open in the middle and his entrails spilled out. I know it's a gory picture, but it's in the Bible for a reason. And it's to show us this is the way things go when we rebel against God and against His grace. And so another apostle is chosen, and as I read before, it turns out that the Lord chose Matthias. And now we have this foundation again, 12 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And on this foundation, God continued to build and place other witnesses, like Stephen, like James, the brother of the Lord, who also testified to Jesus and even died for their testimony. And this continued all the way through the history of the church, so much so that the word witness in Greek, martyr, for most people today means one who dies. That's how serious this is and how important it is. And now here we are today, 2021, May, last Sunday of Easter. Guess who the witnesses of Jesus are today? It's you and it's me. And we have a big challenge ahead of us for that. Are we going to persevere in the faith? Are we going to benefit from those who did that for us, who gave of their livelihoods and even of their lives? How will we do this? Will we be silenced in fear? Will we be tempted to seek the pleasures of the world, to forsake the joys of salvation as Judas did? The answer to all of those questions is that we will find our strength just like they did, persevering in prayer. It's what we are doing right now, in a way, recharging the spiritual batteries of our souls. We are benefiting from the work and gifts of the Holy Spirit here. The Bible tells us we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and in the preaching of the gospel and in the breaking of the bread. In all of these ways, we are not only strengthened in our faith, but enlightened with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to carry out the work of the Lord. Again, to bring the presence of Christ into the world in the most powerful and beautiful ways. This, what we're doing right now, puts us on that same foundation of the 12. Martin Luther, in his beautiful hymn, wrote, "Take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Let all these be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Nothing can shake us from that kingdom, and nothing can stop us from pointing to the godless world, to Christ, the Redeemer, our Savior. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and that we are also running a race of faith, just like those witnesses before us. Running that race of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, despising the shame, endured the cross, but knowing it would all lead to this, to sitting at the right hand of God. March the 8th, 2020, before all this crazy plague stuff was just as it was getting started, in my sermon I mentioned St. Cyprian. Cyprian, I mentioned, survived probably one of the most devastating plagues that ever occurred on earth so far. It was occurring about the year 250 AD. Many people fled from the plague, but Cyprian stayed to serve the people. He survived and he lived to tell about it. And what he wrote about that plague is still read in medical schools to this day. But 8 years later, another plague caught up with Cyprian. It wasn't a biological plague, it's rather a spiritual plague. The spiritual plague of false religion, godlessness. People who say, this ascension stuff is a myth, and the resurrection, you can't believe that. What's real is what you see in a microscope or is digitalized for you on a computer screen. That's what's real, and what they're really also saying, that's what you should worship. These folks are really not interested in faith, but rather compulsion. So it caught up with Cyprian, and he was put on trial. And I'm going to read to you a portion of that trial, the public examination by proconsul Galerius Maximus. "You shall be made an example to those whom you have wickedly associated with you. The authority of law shall be ratified in your blood." He then read the sentence of the court from a written tablet. "It is the sentence of this court that Thaddeus Cyprianus be executed with the sword." Cyprian's simple reply was, "Thanks be to God." The sentence was carried out immediately in a nearby courtyard. With one swing of the sword, Cyprian was gone to be with the Lord. The man who had survived that terrible and most devastating plague in history fell victim to another plague, the plague of false gods and false belief. These are not gods. Please understand this. These are not gods of salvation nor of faith. They care nothing of faith. They only seek compliance, either coerced or forced, if necessary. But take a step back and let's see what really happened. Who ever heard of Galerius Maximus, except for me bringing it to your attention this morning? You have to do some pretty serious digging in history to find his forgotten name, nearly forgotten name. And who among us could even name one of Galerius's gods? But we do remember Cyprian. Many remember Cyprian, and above all, multitudes. Multitudes remember Cyprian's God, Jesus Christ. And you see, this is the power of the Holy Spirit and the faithful testimony to Jesus. Cyprian's last words were, "Thanks be to God." I think there's a lot in those words. Thankful that God saved him from the biological plague, but also thankful that God had saved him from the spiritual plague. He really was saved. He did persevere. He did make the faithful confession to Jesus and did not cave in to the pressure that was put upon him. This is the place where we are brought today as well, learning as ourselves to persevere in prayer, to wait on the Lord, as we sang in Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Because with this plague, there's no mask or vaccine to help, but we have much better. We have the Spirit. We have Christ. We have the presence of Christ in our lives, as well as bringing that presence to the world through the testimony, the faithful witness that God allows us to make. Again, as we just sang in our hymn, "Send us on ways where faith transcends timidity, where love informs and hope sustains both life and ministry. O Christ, the apostles' Lord, the martyrs' strength and song." Amen. Please rise.